This is the Knowledge Bandits Podcast, and I'm your host, Arun Galadima. Let's start the show. This is the Knowledge Bandits Podcast, and I'm excited to bring you today's guest, Ms. Gloria Otieno. She is a Kenyan entrepreneur with a business in the HR consulting space. Gloria, I've given a very brief introduction, but can you take the time to let the bandits get to know you a little bit better?
Okay. So my name is Gloria Michelle Otieno. I was recently married, so now I'm Gloria Michelle Otieno Muka. I'm based in Nairobi, Kenya. I'm the director of Records for Kenya Consultants Limited. Records for Kenya is basically a human resource full spectrum consulting services firm located in Nairobi. We've been assisting public sector organizations, private, government, nonprofit, and also for-profit organizations. We have an organized team of consultants who have extensive experience in recruitment, training, psychometric testing, salary survey, and HR consultancy. I'm an entrepreneur, basically. I look at myself as a serial entrepreneur because I'm deep into human resources, and at the same time, I'm deep into investment. I invest heavily in real estate. I also invest with insurance firms. I also invest in the money market fund. So I'm basically an all-rounder. In university, I studied pharmacy. I didn't actually study human resource to begin with. So this was something new that I got into 5 years ago. When I was in university, I was basically a pharmacy student. I graduated in pharmacy with a Bachelor of Pharmacy Clinical Pharmacology. But it wasn't something I was passionate about. It's something, you know, once you join university, then coming from a high school, which was basically a science-based high school, I thought that, okay, maybe I should do something science-related, you know. So I got into pharmacy. I'd actually applied to be a doctor with a school in South Africa, but it took a while to respond to my application, and this other school that I joined responded to me joining them for pharmacy. So I started pharmacy. I really used to complain about it to my parents, but my parents were like, once you started something, you shouldn't be that type of person to quit. You've never quit in something in your life. Keep going, try, and just get it done. So I got it done. When I was done, so my dad told me that, you're done with it, what do you want to do? At that point, I really didn't know what I wanted to do. So I started applying for jobs. I came back to Kenya, started applying for jobs. I started with applying in chemists, pharmacies, trying to see what I could, where I could join, if I could get I was a pharmacy student, and okay. But I enjoyed to travel, right? Mm-hmm. So I decided that I wanted to get into customer service initially. So I joined Kenya Airways as a customer. I was just a customer service professional. Okay. So when I joined, I was actually good at it. I got promoted. I became a mentor. So I was a customer experience mentor. I used to mentor people who would join fresh employees. I was the one who would mentor them into their positions. So I worked there for a while, but I realized, okay, this is still not my passion. This is not what I want to do. So from that, I started writing CVs for people. So people would say, I want to apply for this job, but I don't know how to do it. So I was the one who would apply for CVs. I'd apply for CVs for family members, etc., etc. And I noticed when I was applying for CVs, they were actually getting interviews. So I realized that there was actually something, maybe the way I'm CV writing or the advice that I'm giving in terms of interviews. As I got more acquainted with that, I realized that it was actually a passion. I was into this. I liked doing it. And one day, just talking to a friend, that's how I started my business. That's how Records for Kenya started. It actually started with just CV writing. I played around with CV writing for a while, but then I realized you can't just make money from writing CVs. You need to do more. And what value, what more can I give people? You know, I can't just say, okay, I'm doing a CV for you. You're going to get an interview. Then what? So I realized that through CV writing, I can expand and maybe offer interview services. So basically my target market when I started was just first level. I was looking at job seekers. How can I help someone get a job? How can I help someone identify their career, etc. like that, because I really struggled with my own career. And when I found it, I realized there are actually clues that happen in your life which make you realize that, oh, this is what I'm actually good at and this is what I'm actually supposed to do. So yeah, I started helping job seekers with writing CVs, interviews, and then from there, now I realized these people need jobs. I now need to go to organizations and tell organizations, hey, I have people here, they need work. Are you looking to hire? So that's what I started doing. I started writing to organizations, speaking to other HRs, networking, attending seminars, forums, trying to see if I can get new jobs, get vacancies, basically look for opportunities for these job seekers. And that's how I Recruits for Kenya ended up forming a link between job seekers and the respective hiring companies. From there, now I hired professionals now to work in the business, because there are certain areas I wasn't good at, which I knew I needed the knowledge. So this took me back to, I had to go back to school, get certain certifications. I got a certificate in HR. I also got a certificate in executive management to add on to the degree that I already had, which wasn't HR based. So I hired professionals, I hired human resource professionals who now could be specific and actually work on certain topics. That's when I was able to add psychometric testing, I was able to add salary surveys, etc.
Wow. Wow, that's really interesting. There's just been this progression where you are discovering a little bit more about what you like, and it ultimately led to Recruits for Kenya. So I want to start a little bit further back. At what point did you officially register the business?
Okay, I officially registered the business in 2013. It was around February 2013. That's when we officially registered the business as a limited company. Initially, it was just a registered business, but it wasn't limited. So I wanted the company to be limited, because limited is safer for even for other companies to do business with you here in Kenya. They always prefer doing business with a limited company. It's safer. It's a safer company. It sounds more organized and secure.
Yeah. And where along that journey did you hire your first employee?
I hired my first employee still in 2013. Once I went limited, I had two employees. So I started with the two employees for a while. And then in 2014, that's when now we added more services, and then we added more employees as well.
And so what's this?
Go ahead. You see, like for my company, it's a consultancy firm, right? So I didn't really want to be that type of business where you're like, I have 20 employees or I have 30 employees, because we specialize. So I only wanted to work with the best. So I wanted professionals, and I wanted people who are able to manage a particular service, rather than having very many people managing a particular service. I don't know if that makes sense, but yeah.
Yeah, it does. Okay. And earlier on, you talked about doing investment, real estate investment, and investing in insurance and all of these different things. Can you talk a little bit more about how your eyes were open and turned towards that that avenue of revenue?
Okay, you see, because when you start a business, you need funding, right? And you cannot just rely on, oh, I have savings and that's it. It's never enough. In fact, in life, money is never enough. You know, in order to sustain your life, you have to be able to have several sources of income. You cannot rely on one source of income. So I looked into what else can I do? Yes, I have this business, but what is going to support this business when my savings run out or when I don't have money here? Where else am I going to get money from? So I got into real estate. A friend of mine actually told me about, oh, I bought this piece of land. I sold it after 5 years and I made triple what I put in. And I thought about it and I was like, yeah, it's better actually to make money, invest it somewhere and get triple what you initially had, because there are actually two people who go to a bank. There's this person who goes to a bank and sells an idea, and there's a person who goes to a bank and saves. So I asked myself, which person actually makes more money? Is it the person who goes to the bank and saves, or is it the person who goes to the bank and sells an idea? And I realized that this person who goes to a bank and sells an idea is actually the person who's going to use that idea and grow it into something bigger, rather than this person who just keeps money in the bank and it just earns, okay, your 8% interest every year. I don't know if I'm making sense, but yeah. So I opted to be this person who goes to a bank with an idea and grows that idea into something more. So I decided that, yeah, I'll go to a bank, I'll go to my account and I'll say, this is my idea. I want to invest in real estate. Let me get this money, put it somewhere else and let it grow. So that's how I got into real estate. I wanted my money to grow rather than just sit in an account earning a constant interest every year. And real estate has been fruitful. It's a fruitful industry as well.
Wow. Yeah, that's really interesting. I find that to be an interesting way to fund your business, because generally, especially here in the US, most of the time when people invest in real estate, that's usually their full-time job, but you're using it as a way to fund, your business. Now, I'm just wondering, in funding the business, how much money was required for you to get things going, and what exactly did you need the money for?
Initially, when I started, my business is a service business. So I actually don't need to, I don't need to put in money to buy a product, then sell the product for a certain amount of, you know, money in order to make a profit. Mine is basically just a service-based industry whereby whoever comes to buy from it is seeking consultancy, seeking professionalism. So when I started, I didn't need a big amount of capital in order to start the business. In fact, I started with very little money. I started with 100,000 Kenyan shillings. That's 1,000 USD. And in order to get the 1,000 USD, I had part of my savings, and then I also borrowed some money, which I borrowed from a family member. So I'd call the family member actually a seed investor. I sold my idea. This is what I want to do. I actually showed him that I'm actually making money from it, but it's not enough, and I need to do more. I need an office, because my business started in a house. I was working from home. My first employees, we were working actually from the house. So I wanted to get out, because it reached to a point whereby you get clients who are saying, oh, where's your office? I want to come see your office. And I'd have to dodge, you know, like, oh, I'm busy today. How about, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah. So I got tired of it because I was like, how long am I going to do this? I need to get serious. So I pitched my business to a family member because it was the fastest way for me to get some money. If I went to the bank, there's a lot of paperwork, and I was like, ah, this will take a long time. What's the fastest way I can get up and I can get running? So I pitched the idea to a family member, and the family member was willing to give me some money. So they lent me. I borrowed the money. They lent me the money. I was able to pay the money within 3 months. Wow. I gave back the money in full. Yes. So, yeah.
Wow.
I just started with $1,000.
Interesting. And to go back a little bit, you said you studied pharmacology, right?
Yes.
Now, how did you discover that that's no longer what you wanted to do? Because typically people right away, they say, okay, I've graduated with finance. Let me try and find a finance job. And not too many people are thinking entrepreneurially about that. I mean, there are a few things that you said led to you getting to that point, but what was the main driver that, sort of implanted that seed in your mind that said, no, you're not going to do this. You're going to do something completely different.
Okay. Around that time when I was done with university, I lost my grandfather. I lost my granddad. And when I went to his funeral, I remember reading his obituary, and it said he was an accountant, then he became a librarian, then he started his own business. Then he basically did so many things. Right. And then in where he used to stay, the area that he used to stay, everyone used to know him, like he was big in that area. And it made me realize that, why am I limiting myself? You know, why am I limiting myself to something that I'm not passionate about? Why do I feel that I need to do, because I did pharmacy, that, oh, now you're going to be a pharmacist. Like, is that all that my life is going to be? When clearly there's some DNA here telling me that there's more to life than just this specific, you know, this specific route that you've chosen. So at that point, that was an eye-opener for me, that, oh, okay, so you can actually do so many things and you don't have to limit yourself. And so that's when I decided, okay, this is it. I'm going to start doing what I want to do from this point on. And yeah, and it worked out just fine.
Nice. And what scale are you operating at now? Like, how many clients do you have, and employees, all of that stuff?
Okay, right now in total, full-time and part-time employees in total, I would say 19.
Wow.
Some of them, basically, because it's a consultancy, so I work with very many consultants, sometimes even more than what I've mentioned. I've worked with very many people, actually. But the actual number, I'd say for now, is 19, but normally it can even be more than that, because you find that certain tasks need certain skill sets, so I would have to join with certain consultants in order to do certain projects like that. So you find that you work with so many people in particular projects, in particular tasks at a time.
And so the different tasks that you have to do, are they sort of bespoke? Are they custom to those particular clients? Or do you have an offering of services that you provide and people come and ask for something specific? How does that work?
Okay, we have specific services that we offer. So when people come and inquire about services from us, they ask for those specific services that we offer. So if, for instance, we offer recruitment training, you'll have clients who come in and say, oh, I'm looking for recruitment. We're looking to hire this and that. Or I'm looking for training. I have my front staff who need to be trained in customer service. They need to be trained in sales and marketing. Are you able to offer that service? Now you see such certain tasks, there are certain consultants who work on that. You won't find a recruitment consultant is the same one that's working and doing the training work. And you see, these are over 5 services. So each service, like I'd mentioned earlier, has its own particular consultant that specializes in that.
Wow. Okay. Okay. So we've spoken a little bit about your journey towards starting the business, but we want to get to know you a little bit better as an entrepreneur. So what fires you up in the morning? What is your morning routine, and why is that routine so important to you?
Okay. So my day, I would say my day starts at 5 o'clock. Mm. I wake up, the first thing I do, I skip. So I skip every morning. But right now I'm just doing 100 skips. I'm not trying to go for big numbers or anything. Mm. So I just do 100 every morning, 100 skips every morning. That starts my day. I like to read as well. So it depends with my day. If I'm having a busy day, I like doing my emails early in the morning. So I do all my emails early in the morning. If I have to respond to anything, if anything was pending, that's what I get done in the morning. I leave the house by around 7:30. I like my meetings in the mornings as well, because I feel like in the morning, you're more fresh and more in tune with what you want to get done, and you're more focused. Mm. Because for me, by the time it's 12 o'clock or 1 o'clock, I'm done with my day. My day is actually done by 1 o'clock. Oh, wow. But I've done a lot of things, like from 5 to 1, a lot of things have happened. All my meetings, everything that I need to do, projects, etc., get done between then. If I'm reading, I also like to do it in the morning, because I feel that I remember more. Mm. I remember whatever I've read, and then I practice. I try to practice, etc. Yeah.
Wow. Great. Well, that's really interesting. I feel like that's one of the things that you are sort of able to do as an entrepreneur. That's one of the perks of the job, is that you can create your own schedule and find out how you are most productive and live by that schedule. And so a big part of being an entrepreneur is being able to sustain yourself. So how do you generate income for yourself?
I would say I'm fully reliant on my business as a source of income, but like I mentioned, at the same time, I've invested in other businesses as well. I have a friend who has a restaurant whereby I've invested there as well. I get an income from that. I've also invested in real estate, but that one takes a while, but I sell every 5 years. So I've just done the first, I won't say every 5 years, I've not been alive that long, but the fifth year, last year I sold. So I'd say real estate I sell every year, every 5 years, sorry. The investments I make in other businesses, I also have the money market fund whereby I save money with insurance companies in order to get back a certain percentage. I'm trying to learn Forex trade. I've been very interested in it. I'm not good at it, but I've been trying to see what it's about. It's interesting to me. So that's something new that I'm trying to get into. But my main source of income, yes, is coming from my business. That is my constant income. And then these other ones are mostly investments, which... yeah, also bring in income.
Interesting. And at what point were you fully reliant on your business as sort of a source of income?
I would say from I started in 2013. I would say 3 years after that, 3, 4 years, 3 years, 2016. Yes, from 2016, I was able to now get a proper salary. You know, when you start, you want to have a salary, but it's pretty hard. It's actually very hard to get a constant salary every month when you start the business. So my first year, I actually had no salary. I won't lie about that. My second year is when I was trying to get more organized and, okay, I have an accountant. Can you tell me how much you can pay me every month, etc.? So what my accountant is really good. I still have her till now. From the beginning, from that second year, she put for me, there's a way she did it that the business owed me a certain amount of money, right? Mm. So because it cannot pay me at that time, she put it in a way that the business owes me this amount, this amount, this amount. So it reached a point where the business was able to pay me what it owed me from the point that I started the business. Mm. So, but I used half of that money, I invested it back into the business, and then yeah, I kept the rest of the money. But then from then on, we were able now to give me a particular salary every month up until this point. So
nice. Yeah. And so I remember you said that you got a seed investment that you repaid after 4 months, but ever since that point, have you had any more investors in the business, or have you had people who want to invest in the business?
I would say I've had people who wanted to invest, but you know, anyone who comes to you and wants to invest in your business, sometimes they're always looking for their best interest at all times, right? So I've not met someone who we can agree on. I've not met an investor whereby we can agree on his best interest and my best interest. Yeah, basically. His or her best interest and my best interest. But yeah, so basically I haven't relied on outside investors this long.
Wow. Yeah, that's great. I mean, obviously the more of your business that you can retain, the better.
Exactly. And because it's my main, like I mentioned, it's my main source of income, I don't want to lose a lot from it also.
And being an entrepreneur, there are certainly some down moments that you experience. So can you take us to one of those points specifically where you weren't sure whether you made the right decision? Things just seem so tough. Can you take us to one of those moments?
Okay, I'm trying to think of one. There's a time, you know, sometimes when you're doing business, you can't trust everyone, right? But when I started, when I was early on in the business, I didn't know much. You know, when you start, you're a bit naive, and then there are people out there who know more than you do about, or basically how they can benefit from your business, etc. So there's a time that I thought I was partnering with someone who was going to help boost the business. But instead, this particular person actually really messed up my business to the point that I was literally begging people like, hey, I'm sorry, this shouldn't have happened, etc. Yeah, let me just leave it out, but I'll just say that you need to be wary about who you interact with in terms of partnership. When it sounds too good to be true, it actually is too good to be true. It's as simple as that. Yeah. And when someone notices that, oh, you've just started your business, this is your first year. Oh, okay, they know you're a bit naive about certain things. So just be careful who you put around you when you start the business, because you can end up also losing a lot of money, a lot.
Well, yeah, you know, I find that to be something that people experience across the board. With every person I've interviewed, they have this sort of moment where they put their trust in someone because they're just so excited, they're ecstatic about running their own business, but they find out that not everyone has their best interest at heart. So I think that's really good advice that you're giving, is be wary of who you're doing business with. And sometimes it's in the natural course of being an entrepreneur. It comes with the territory. So you need to be wary, but also don't let it hold you back too much if you experience those points where you are cheated or sort of things don't go according to plan. And
yes, that is correct.
We definitely don't want to stay in those down moments. We want to flip the script and talk about some of the best moments that you've experienced as an entrepreneur. I'm sure you've had several, but can you take us to one in particular that you sort of look at as a defining moment of your entrepreneurial career?
I would say when I started, right, two years into the business, I was able to get this client from South Africa. It's a very big company in South Africa. So they contacted us and they were like, oh, we've heard about Gloria. She's really good in recruitment. Can she help us recruit? And yeah, so I spoke to the HR and they wanted to recruit, an area sales manager in Kenya. Mm-hmm. So the company is based in South Africa and they're looking to venture into the Kenyan market. So they asked me to recruit for them an area sales manager. So this was my first big job at the time, because I'm there thinking, oh yeah, you need to sign my contract. This is how much I charge. And they were like, no, we're not even going to pay you that. We have a fixed amount that we normally pay people when we get into such kind of agreements. Mm. So they showed me the agreement and it was like triple what I even charge. And I was like, what? I was going to charge them this? I was going to play myself with this. So they showed me the contract and I'm like, oh, this is good. Okay. So I sign it up. And yeah, they give me a timeline when they require their person. And when I took that contract, I won't even lie, I did not know where I was going to get that area sales manager. I had no idea. But that was the point that I learned that, yeah, when you get into something and you feel like you don't know how to do it, just start either way. You know, you'll find yourself along the way. You'll find what you need to do along the way. So I took the contract and I began. And one way or another, I found this person. Hmm. I don't know how until today, that was my genius moment. Like, I was like, I did this. How did I get this lady? Because I started looking for the area sales manager. I knew it has to be someone in the similar industry in order for them to hire the person. So I kept looking. I checked LinkedIn. I checked Facebook. I'm just looking. I'm looking. I'm searching. Because, you know, that's how recruiters look for people. They use social media first. So I'm looking at social media. I'm looking Facebook. I'm searching. I'm keying in area sales manager, area whatever, this industry, area what I'm searching, LinkedIn, da-da-da. I can't find the person. So I'm like, wow, I go on Google, everything. Then eventually, I got a list of people. I contacted them. And this lady wasn't even working where Google was showing that she was working. Hmm. So I couldn't even find her from there. So I did a lot of research, etc., until I was able to find her. So that was my best job to date. It was actually my genius moment. And that was the first time that I actually had a company give me a contract to sign. Normally, it's companies that sign my contract. But yeah, that was my biggest contract to date.
Hmm. And what was it about that contract that stands out in your mind? Is it the amount that you got paid? Is it that you didn't know how you were going to get something done, but you got it done? Or is it just sort of a combination of everything?
I think it was the fact that I was clueless. I didn't know how I was going to get it done. Yes, the money is always a bonus, you know, like, yay, I was paid for that. Mm. But it's never, if you go into something and money is your focus, then you're not going to be successful with it. I went into that because it was challenging, you know, like I've never done this before and this is something new. I'm going to take home as well. I'm going to take home a lot from this. I'm going to learn a lot from this. And this is going to grow me, you know, as a person and in my career. So that was what I liked a lot about it, the fact that it grew me. Because from that job, I was able to kill a lot of other jobs very fast.
Wow.
And because of what I learned from it.
Yeah. And so you said this South African company approached you. And at that point, had you been doing a lot of marketing, or was it sort of a word of mouth situation that got you that business?
I had been doing a lot of marketing and also just presence, you know. Like right now, if you search my company on Google, you'll find us immediately. So presence is very important. That's what I learned very early on in the business. Can people go online and actually find you? Because right now, the world is about online. Are you online? You know, are you visible? And the fact that my company was visible from very early on, it made it easier for me to get clients very early. And then from those clients, get referrals from them as well. So you find, because from that one South African company I did, I got several from that. You know, when people hear, oh, you recruited for this company, okay, I'm also interested type of thing. I want to see what you're about. And then that company as well writes a testimonial for you and says, oh, they did a good job, or, you know. So, yeah.
Okay, great. And with that, we're going to get into the rapid fire round. Are you ready?
Okay. Yes.
So what would you say was initially stopping you from taking the step to become an entrepreneur?
Fear. Fear of the unknown.
Yeah.
Not knowing what's going to happen. How am I going to be received? Are people going to accept me? And yeah, basically fear.
Yeah. And at what point did you stop looking at your business as a project and more as an actual business?
I think when I started getting big contracts and realizing that I was really good at what I'm doing, and the fact that I was willing to learn as well. And that's when I realized that, hey, I'm in business here. I'm doing something, I'm creating value, I'm getting people jobs, I'm connecting people, and I'm training people, I'm improving people's lives. Yeah.
And what would you say is your superpower as an entrepreneur?
My superpower would be not giving up. Is that a superpower? Oh, you wanted an adjective? I'm not sure.
That's perfectly fine. Nice.
Yeah, resilience.
And what quality do you wish to improve on most as an entrepreneur?
I really want to improve on patience. I want to be more patient, especially now I have a daughter, so I think she's going to teach me that. Yeah, I think she's going to teach me how to be more patient and to be able to wait for opportunities, because there's a lot that happens in waiting as well. There's a lot that happens, growth. Yeah.
And what's the best advice you've received, and who is it from?
Best advice. Oh, my best advice I received was from my dad. He actually told me earlier on when I started my business, he was like, don't be afraid of big numbers. You know, like when you're writing quotations or you're creating invoices and you're like, "Ay, this is going to be too expensive. I'm scared. Let me reduce it a bit." You know, you're actually downsizing yourself. Don't be afraid of big numbers. It's just name your price and go for it.
I really like that. That definitely spoke to me right now. One of the things I see as an entrepreneur is people talk about the fear of failure, but there's also a fear of success. You're afraid that this might be a little bit too much for you right now. You're afraid that you're asking for too much, like you said, but I think this is a fear that a lot of entrepreneurs need to understand and get over.
Yes, true. Yeah. Yes.
And what are you reading right now?
Right now I'm reading Tony Robbins. Tony Robbins, it's a book called Money, Master the Game, Seven Simple Steps to Financial Freedom. I don't know if you've heard of it.
I have. I haven't read it, but now that you've brought it to my attention, I will put that on the list.
It's a very good book. Because I told you I'm getting very interested with Forex trading, etc. Mm-hmm. He actually talks a lot about that. He talks about security, financial security, etc. and all those things. Yeah. Mm. So I really like the book, and it's a big book, actually. You need a lot of time to read it. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, nice. And what is one internet resource or application that you couldn't live without?
Interesting. I've never thought of that. I would say Facebook. Reason being, my business started with Facebook, actually. A Facebook page, etc. That's why I was able to reach a lot of people. So I would say I always have to have Facebook on my phone. That's number one. Mm. Number two, I have our Daily Bread. That's another application. I always have to read something, you know, something a quote, a Bible quote every day. Mm. There's a lot in that. I feel like Bible quotes also give some kind of motivation and boost to a day.
Nice. And to close out the rapid fire round, do you feel like you've made it yet?
I feel like I'm not there yet. I feel like I'm on the way. Yes, I'm on the way. But it's very hard to say, oh yes, I've made it, I'm successful, I'm doing it. I don't know. If I say that, I think I wouldn't keep working every day, would I? I'd be somewhere in Hawaii, chilling, enjoying life, and ripping off from what I've been working from. You know, I'm on the way there. I feel there are different forms to success, and there are different success is not just the different forms to success.
And so as we cool down, you mentioned this book by Tony Robbins, but is there another book that you would want to recommend to the bandits listening?
There's Jack Canfield, The Power of Focus. That is a really good book. It talks about how to hit your business, personal and financial targets with confidence and certainty. You know, sometimes we are often scared to take certain risks, etc. So it talks about how when you focus on something, how it's good to focus on something because it helps give you confidence and certainty when you're making decisions towards whatever it is that you're trying to get done or accomplish.
Yeah. Nice. And for those bandits that are listening, if you want to see the books that Gloria has recommended, you can go to her page on the website and it'll all be there. And so we want to talk a little bit about mentorship. So can you talk a little bit about that and what the value of mentorship is in general and what the value of mentorship is that you found?
The value of mentorship.
Yes.
You know, it's always good to learn from someone who has treaded waters that you're trying to get into. So mentorship is valuable. I had a mentor when I started, and I was fortunate that the mentor was actually a family member, someone who was also in business. So from that, I was able to learn certain things. But you wouldn't learn everything, but you're able to get confident in certain areas that be patient, this will happen, keep going, don't worry, etc. You're able to get motivated. You're able to get maybe shortcuts towards certain things. Yeah.
And what advice would you give to some of the people who are listening now who are afraid to take that next step that they deep down know they should?
When it comes to entrepreneurship, you shouldn't be scared of starting. You know, the key thing is to start, to get started, to get running. So once you get started, once you get running, once you identify a good mentor that you can learn certain skills from, that should be a way. That should be a way. Yeah, that's a good way to start.
Nice. Right. I mean, you've been giving so much great advice throughout this this interview. I think, it's a lot for us to mull over. But as we sort of say goodbye, can you give us a few ways that we can connect with you through Twitter, email, your website, and just all your social media?
My website is rforkenya.com. That's four is the number four. Kenya is the word Kenya.com. It's rforkenya.com is our website. My email is gloria.michelle@rforkenya.com. My Instagram is michelle_gloria. My Twitter is Gloasukar, GLOASOOKAR.
And for those people that want to connect with Gloria, you'll be able to find all of that on her page on the Knowledge Bandits website. All right. And as we say goodbye, as we say the final goodbye, can you leave us with one more parting piece of wisdom?
Know your network. I think know your network. Basically, grow your network, because at the end of the day, your network is your net worth. So the people you put around you are the people who are also going to help you, are also going to help you identify opportunities, are the people who you're going to network with, and they're the people who are also going to help you achieve certain things that you need to achieve. So be very careful about the kind of people you put around you. Birds of a feather flock together. And yeah, it's always good also to have smarter people than you around you. Get to know smarter people and network.
Nice. Great advice. Well, Gloria, thank you so much for joining us today. I've appreciated and learned so much from you, and I'm sure the bandits have as well.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me. And I'm grateful. I'm grateful for the time. And yes, I'm looking forward to listening to this.
Nice. Stay inspired. Hey, if you're still there, thanks for listening. If you like the show, please hit that subscribe button wherever you listen to podcasts and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Handle is Knowledge Bandits everywhere. We have closed sessions lined up with some of the entrepreneurs that we've already interviewed. So if you have questions that weren't answered during the show, you'll have a chance to connect with them during these closed sessions. Just go to the Knowledge Bandits website at knowledgebandits.com and sign up for the newsletter on the contact page. If you or someone you know has a business, we'd love to share your story with the Knowledge Bandits community. Just send an email to interview@knowledgebandits.com. If you have a question for me or you want to connect with any of the guests so far, send an email to me personally at arum@knowledgebandits.com. Stay inspired.